Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. But before we hear the reading of this familiar story of the Good Samaritan, let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. God of love, who renews with grace and love, prepare us to receive your wisdom through the illumination of your Spirit. Nourish our souls with your word that we may learn how to love our neighbors as you have loved us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading today can be found on page 1612. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine on him. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for your extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, be with us today so that we may learn what it means to be a neighbor, how we may be called to act as Jesus has called us to serve one another and love as he loved. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Of this beautiful day. Since we're together, might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
So this was the beginning of just about every show. There were some variations, but basically this was how Fred Rogers began every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And what I loved is that if you saw the movie that they just did, that he had the miniature diorama on the set of the show. You could actually walk onto it from the set. And as I was thinking about this week about this miniature diorama. Like, I was trying to think, why did he do that? Like, why did he have this, like, fake little city built there? The cars were clearly way oversized. Next time, watch it. You'll see that the cars are, like way too big for those little houses. And he has this thing, right, where he starts kind of on this apartment building. And he zooms over and trolley comes by. And you get to see this neighborhood. And then you finally make it over to Fred's house, his pretend house, at the end of the street with the stop sign. And at first glance, this is like a really cutesy way to start the show, right? Miniatures piquing your curiosity, reminding you, like, I think a kid would be like, oh, I want to play in that set, you know? Like, that would be fun, you know? And there are these brightly colored homes, buildings, over, like I said, oversized, not quite to scale toy cars. Yet as you reflect on why Fred would start the show this way, you start to realize that the opening is like such a brilliant way to begin the show. Because what Fred is doing is creating a context, a setting for what is about to happen. That Fred's house belongs to a neighborhood. And that neighborhood belongs to maybe a town or a city. And this introduction reminds the viewer that each of us is a part of something greater, that we are not isolated islands out to ourselves, but that each of us is a vital member of the neighborhood. That we belong to something bigger than ourselves, and that we have a responsibility in that belonging. Now, as the camera zooms into Fred's pretend house, we cut to the inside of Fred's house on the yellow light of his traffic light, and it kind of zooms out and then scans across the room to Mr. Rogers' door, as he always right on time. Like, it always seems like he was just about to miss his cue, you know? It's like, whoa, it comes. Mr. Rogers enters with the first line, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor." Again, he is reminding us that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves. And he sings at the end, "Won't you be mine? Could you be mine?" Fred always stressed on his show the importance of intimacy, of sharing your emotions authentically, of still being loved, still belonging. I was reading somewhere this week that this idea of Fred coming in and taking off his sports jacket, you know, and putting on his comfy sweater, and then taking off his dress shoes and putting on his comfortable shoes, that in a way this was an act of him making himself vulnerable for us. That this was an act of intimacy. He was saying, "You're my friend. I don't need to dress up around you. I can put on what's comfortable. I'm at home with you." And it's just these weird things where you think, this is the intro. I've seen this intro 1,000 times and I didn't think about these things. And this line that he says, "Will you, won't you be mine? Could you be mine?" It's an invitation. It's an invitation to belong, to be loved. And in a way, we could see it as God's words of invitation to us. Oh my goodness. It's the same thing that the father says at the end of the prodigal son. Y'all remember, right? The older son, he didn't want to go in. And he's like, "All of this belongs to you. Come into the party. Let's celebrate. Yes, your younger brother made some mistakes, but come. You're a part of this too. Won't you be mine? Could you be mine? You belong. You belong." And so the song ends, right, with the famous request, "Well, please, won't you be my neighbor?" And this song uses variations of the term neighbor 8 times. And Fred, I know, did not use this term neighbor lightly. From his seminary training, he knew the power of that word in Scripture, particularly Jesus' use and definition of the word. So we understand from Jesus that he inherited this Hebrew tradition of re'ah, which in Hebrew translates literally as neighbor, but according to scholar Michael Feigenblatt, it could designate any human being or denote a person with whom one has an intimate relationship with, such as a friend or lover. But more common, it referred to a person encountered in everyday life. One who lives trustingly beside you. Jesus embodied this expansive definition of rea in his ministry, using it to push against prejudice and more restrictive definitions of the word. And we see this most clearly in the parable of the Good Samaritan that Kim read for us earlier, which is kicked off by a law expert asking, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells us of a man being beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. A priest and a Levite walk by, see the man, but keep on walking. Now, the parable doesn't tell us why these two religious, holy people walk by. The reader is left to speculate their motivations. But Martin Luther King Jr., in his final sermon, which I posted this last week, to the Memphis sanitation workers, believed it was fear that kept the priest and Levite away. Fear of an ambushing on a dangerous road. In his final words, Reverend King states, "The first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But then the Good Samaritan came by and he reversed the question. 'If I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him?'" At the end of the parable, Jesus boldly changes the question from "Who is my neighbor?" which was the lawyer's question, to "Which of these three acted as a neighbor to this beaten man?" This moves the word neighbor from being something that you simply designate a person or an identity you place upon someone, instead moves it towards a way of life, how you live with your fellow human beings. Now, during every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, we're always given a journey into the neighborhood of make-believe, which was populated by a number of talking puppets: Daniel Tiger, X the Owl, Henrietta Pussycat, Grand Pierre. There were some human puppets: King Friday the Seventh, Queen Sarah, Lady Elaine, and then there were the live human beings: Lady Abilene and Officer Clemens, and many others. Fred did most of the voices for the puppets. And as fantastical and as whimsical as the land of make-believe was, it was there with these puppets that Fred would play out the challenges and difficulties of being a neighbor. Later on in life, Fred called the land of make-believe his soap opera he could write every week. Characters would argue, they would fight, they would disagree. They would get upset, they would struggle with one another, they would have jealousies. I watched a clip today where Big Bird was invited to the land of make-believe. And X the Owl had invited him, and he was so excited. He had all his Big Bird merch. And was, "Oh, Big Bird's coming to make-believe! Oh, Big Bird's coming to make-believe," right? And Henrietta Pussycat, we find out later in the story, was upset because she was worried that Big Bird was going to take her place and was going to be X the Owl's friend more that she was going to be his friend. She was jealous. She was worried. And so what happened was, of course, Big Bird talks it out, and they figure it out. But they had to figure it out, right? They had to figure it out. And that's the kind of thing that would happen in make-believe. Fred would actually take on these challenging things to help figure out how you would get through arguments, disagreements between neighbors and friends. And they would find a way to listen, compromise, and find humility to remain neighbors, to allow love and grace to take hold amidst their struggles and their differences. Make-believe was the place that a child could learn what it meant to be a neighbor in all its forms. It was there that you learned a neighbor is someone who shows love and mercy. And that was the answer to Jesus' question at the end of the parable. Who is your neighbor? Who acted as a neighbor? The one who showed mercy was the one who was a neighbor. And this was Fred's invitation during his song, "Won't You Be a Neighbor?" To do as the Good Samaritan did, show mercy, show love, to realize that we are not just on this earth to please ourselves or to get our own way, but to serve others, that we are intimately connected to each other more than we could ever know, and to help others feel like they belong. It seems that the world, as per usual, is bent on narrowly defining the term neighbor, to restrict who we could find in such a category, to suggest that some people's well-being is more important than other people's well-being, or the flourishing of other human beings is more important than the flourishing of these other human beings. And so we draw lines in the sand by economic class, gender, orientation, country of origin, skin color, political party, and we believe that somehow those people who we have driven along the lines are not our neighbors, and these other people are. But interestingly enough, Jesus is pretty clear in this story. And his command is clear. You are to be a neighbor. You are not to define who is in and who is out. You are to be a neighbor. Because Jesus was not interested in such boundary drawing. He was not interested in drawing lines. He was more concerned about how you responded, about how you acted, about who you were a neighbor to. So may we accept Fred's invitation to be a neighbor, to show mercy and love to the diverse and wild world that we are a part of. And today I want to conclude with a clip from the documentary. We played one at the end of last service where they discuss what Fred would have said to us today in the midst of our disagreements and struggles. And I think clearly lays out what it means for us to be a neighbor today and tomorrow for all those in our life.
Can't think how he would feel about the things that have come out that seem to set us back so far.
And I wonder if he wouldn't simply put down his tiger and just stay home. Forget about even trying. He's not a person who would have given up, but this is daunting.
I think he would be trying to mend the split. He would be trying to find some way to find something positive
When I was a boy and I would hear about something scary, my mother would tell us, always look for the people who are helping. You'll always find somebody who's trying to help.
I think there are a lot of people out there like Fred Rogers. A lot more than we really want to believe.
In response to the question, what would Fred Rogers do? It's not a question that you can't answer. The most important question is, what are you going to do?
From the time you were very little, you've had people who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, loved you into loving.
When he was giving speeches, he would say, now, think about somebody who's helped you along the way. For 1 minute, I'm going to time you.
Let's just take some time to think of those extra special people. Some of them may be right here. Some may be far away. Some may even be in heaven. No matter where they are, deep down you know they've always wanted what was best for you. They've always cared about you beyond measure and have encouraged you to be true to the best within you.
My mother.
How I got to this point, because it was my grandfather's doing.
There was this woman named Viva who used to take care of me when I was little. She was our babysitter.
I thought about Fred.
How about you?
My mother.
Yeah.
Won't you be a neighbor? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.